But you see, we have to see the giants in our life in a different light. We have to see those mountains before us differently. We have to see the way God sees them. You see, He created them, and they have no authority over Him. And if we have God living in us, the Creator of all things, then they should have no authority over us. You see, when we make the circumstances of our life bigger than our God, then that creates the smallness of our life to the measure of the bigness of the problem. But when God is bigger than the problem and we submit to Him, then the problem has no authority or power over us. Amen? Amen? So we need to look at things differently. Because what happens is our thoughts become our words. And then our words become our actions. They start to birth and break forth. And that's why we say things like, a hurting person hurts people. Why is that? Because that's all that they're sowing into their life. Their heart is filled with the grief and the hurt, and so they end up sowing that. They end up speaking that same exact thing. And when we call them an enemy, instead of realizing that the spiritual hurt behind it is the enemy. And so we just need to see things differently. And so it took me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you want to follow along, you can follow along. But I just want to read through here. And this is verse 36 through 47. And I kind of want to break this down so that maybe you can see it the way I'm looking at it right now. Maybe the way that God has intended. I love the Rhema word. I love it when word comes to life. Amen? Amen. And so I start off by reading out of God's word, verse 36. And this is David speaking. He says, I've killed lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has challenged the army of the living God. Something you need to see very key here is that David is already declaring what is going to happen. Do you see what I'm saying? He's already declaring out of his mouth, I've killed lions and I've killed bears, and this Philistine is going to be the same exact way. It's not going to have any authority over me. I don't care how big he is. I don't care how vast the army is. I don't care how big the problem looks like it's going to be. I serve in the kingdom and the army of God. Amen. He was confident, not in himself, confident in God. And we read verse 37, and David added, the Lord, everybody say, the Lord. The Lord who saved me from the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine. Go, Saul told David, and may the Lord be with you. Here's the thing. Saul is saying, may the Lord be with you, but key point, David already knew the Lord was with him. Amen. How often do you go through challenges in life going, God, where are you? But if we continually remind ourselves that God will never leave us nor forsake us, then in every circumstance, in every battle in your life, every fight that you're in, God is with you. We need to be as confident as David, knowing that he's already there. David remembered God and how he had delivered him already. The confidence he had was his boldness. Let me say that again. The confidence that David had in the Lord was his boldness. Right now we have a church, not speaking shield of faith, I'm talking about the church in general, who lacks boldness because they've forgotten what they've been delivered from. We just took a time a few minutes ago and people were speaking out who God is to you. We have to continually remind ourselves who God is to us, because in that we have our victory. In that, we know the challenges are just a minute part of this life, and we will walk in victory. Amen? Amen? Verse 38, Saul put his battle tunic on David. This is huge. Saul put his battle tunic on David. He put a bronze helmet on David's head and dressed him in armor. It gets good in 39 here. David fastened Saul's sword over his clothes and tried to walk. But he had never practiced doing this. I can't walk in these things, David told Saul. I never had any practice doing this. So David took all of those things off. Hear me, and hear me loudly, hear me clearly. Not every battle is fought the same way. Not every battle is fought the same way. We look at things and we're like, well, so-and-so did it that way, so I'm going to try and do it. Do you remember the story in the Bible where I think it was the seven sons of Sceva, if I'm correct, they were trying to cast out the demons in the name of that Paul was preaching, right? You know, in Jesus' name. They had not the equipment or the armor, and they hadn't practiced it. And the demons came back and beat them up. It's not done the same way every time. We try to figure things out. How about follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Jesus didn't heal the people the same exact way every time. Sometimes they went and dipped in the river over and over again. Sometimes they had mud put in their eye. Whatever the case may be. Sometimes it was just a spoken word. Another key element to this verse is that David, out of his mouth, said, I'm not practiced in this. Our weapon that we use, guys, the ammunition that we have, if we go back to Adam Gillis's message, we're the weapon, but the ammunition we have is the word of the Lord. And I would add our prayers. And sometimes we find it very difficult to find people in the church that are even praying, when that's a very tool that's very effective to get you out of the circumstance that you're in. But just opening your mouth and putting lips to words to pray to your Savior sometimes is a difficult thing. I'm here to challenge you today. Don't make that a difficult thing. Practice it. Practice it. Not when you feel like it, and not once a week. And don't put a time limit on it. Every single day of your life, practice it so that you become effective in it. Amen? Verse 40. David, he took his stick with him, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from the riverbed, and he put them in his shepherd's bag. With a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. We got an entire Philistine army, and you've got a giant that's out there standing before you. Everybody in the Israel army is afraid to fight. They're shaking in their boots. They're all dressed in full body armor. They're all practiced with their swords. They're soldiers. Do you hear what I'm saying? David, who's a shepherd's boy, picks up some rocks and a sling with a stick, and he walks out there in front of everything. Confident. Bold. I got to get into this revelation I had here. The Philistine, preceded by the man carrying his shield, was coming closer and closer to David. And when the Philistine got a good look at David, he despised him. After all, David was a young man with healthy complexion and good looks. They're about ready to go into battle, and the Philistine, Goliath, is jealous. Do you know that's from the enemy? Do you know that's the powers and principalities of darkness, jealousy? That was his first demise. The Philistine got jealous. Hear my revelation. And then the Philistine started to boast. The Philistine asked David, am I a dog that you come to attack me with a stick? So the Philistine called on his gods to curse David. Come on, the Philistine told David, and I'll give your body to the birds. There is so much depth here. Okay, the Philistine was filled with self. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Philistine, or we should say the world, the powers and principalities, filled with self, filled with wrath, filled with jealousy, filled with confidence in themselves, right? Asking his gods to curse David, but not saying with his gods he will be victorious, because he was merely confident in his own ability. I'm this big, battle-wearied warrior who hasn't been defeated, and this little ruddy individual is coming at me with a stick and some stones and a sling? Ha! Ha! You got nothing on me. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. The Philistine was confident in his own strength. David told the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have insulted." Do you see the comparison there? The Philistine, Goliath, was coming at him with man's stuff. But David was coming at him with the authority of God. Big difference. We have the same authority today, guys. We have the same authority today. David says in verse 46, today, he's making a declaration, today, sometimes we need to make declarations, today my healing is here, today my breakthrough is here, today salvation of the Lord has come, today, the declaration, today the Lord will hand you over to me. Again, it wasn't him. It wasn't him doing it. Today, the Lord is going to hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head, and this day I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals. The whole world will know that Israel has a God. To my revelation that I had when I read this, we always, and it, to me being included, focused on David killing Goliath with a sling and a stone. But my revelation is that David's true victory came in his declaration and who brought him to fight. I gotta make this clear. The Bible says that the battle is the Lord's. But it doesn't say that we aren't going to fight. We have a fight. But if we do the fight within our own strength, we're missing the bigger picture. Because that's how the world fights, in their own strength. But when you turn it around, and now you go at every circumstance and every battle in your life, every fight that you're in, if you go at it that the Lord has my back, this is the Lord's battle, I'm going to do the fight, but it's the Lord's battle, and I will be victorious, and you have the confidence in God, the same confidence in God that David had, your battle is already won. Doesn't mean you may not have to fight. David still had to sling the stone, but he knew it was already over before it started. So when people say things like, "How are you doing?" And you say, "Well, I'm still hurting." And they say, "Yeah, but your healing's already come." There's truth in it. There's truth in it because if you know who you are in Christ, the battle's already been won. You're already victorious. David still had to fight. He still had to do his part. He still had to pick up the stones. He still had to face the giant. He still had to take aim. He still had to use what he was practiced in, but he did it in confidence through the Lord. Amen? It's a huge understanding so that every time we're in a situation, who's in a battle right now? I think every hand should probably be up. Because you probably got in an argument with your spouse this morning over finances or something, right? There's probably some sort of battle going on. Something happening. I don't care what the battle is. This is why in marriage, it's so important to keep God in the center. Because when you know that God is in the center of your marriage, the battle's already won. When you know that God is in the center of your circumstances that you're going through, the battle is already won. It doesn't matter what it looks like, and I speak to this, it doesn't matter what it feels like, the battle's already won. We have to declare it. We need to start speaking things like this. You come at me with pain and suffering, I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies. You come at me with grief and despair, I come at you in the name of the Lord of the armies. Amen. You come to me with lack of finances, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to start speaking these things out. We've had several weeks of understanding that there's power in the spoken word. Verse 47, then everyone gathered, and David goes on to say, then everyone gathered here will know the Lord can save without sword or spear. Because the Lord determines every battle's outcome. This is scripture. He will hand all of you over to us. The battle is the Lord's, but we still have to fight. Proverbs 27:3. Remember, David looked at Goliath. He looked at the giant. He looked at this battle with the mindset, we will say, I can't miss. He already knew in confidence that it was over before it started. It was over before it started. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You see, you can speak things out that you're not really feeling or not really believing that's the truth, and it can bring destruction. We have to have our hearts right. The only way to have our heart right is to also have our mind right. We have to change the way we see things. We have to change the way we think about things, and that will change the way on how we speak things. Amen? Exactly. Let me give you just a simple example. Who likes alarm clocks? Let me change that statement. Who likes it when the alarm clock goes off? Meep, meep, meep. Who's ever cursed their alarm clock? Who's ever thrown something at their alarm clock? Who's ever pushed snooze on their alarm clock? Not right now. But what if we changed the way we looked at things and saw the alarm clock instead of as this rude awakening, but as an opportunity clock? What if we'd looked at things differently, right? Do you see, it's an opportunity of a new day. The alarm clock going off is an opportunity of a new start. You see, you weren't doing anything in your sleep. But now that you're awake, you're going to put some your leather personnel carriers to work. You're going to walk out this walk. You're going to walk out the day. What if we change the way we look at things? A new day with new opportunities. When you understand that yesterday ended last night and today is the first day of the rest of your life, you begin to truly accept responsibility for your emotional health. I've been there before. I hate to say, I don't ever want to be there again for sure. When you look at yesterday and go, but it happened, this happened yesterday. Do you remember what happened yesterday? Do you remember how you were raised as a child? Do you remember the abuse you went through? Do you remember the horrors of the past? It's done. It's over with. You can't relive yesterday. You can't change yesterday, but you certainly can make a difference today. So your alarm clock's an opportunity clock. Everybody say, opportunity. Opportunity. All right, thanks for being obedient. Listen, who's going to look at their alarm clock differently? Not you, Rosie. Jen, will you lay hands on her? Yeah. Listen. But everything that happens in our life, we have the ability to call it good or to call it bad, right? And just think, the very thing that's waking you up to start a brand new day is something that you start off by cursing. Oh, I hate that alarm clock. Oh, I wish it wouldn't, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You start your day off by cursing something instead of rejoicing in God. Do you see we have to change how we see and do things? Do you guys know that there's a difference between spending and investing? Yep. How do you spend your time? Do you spend your time in worry like the Israelite army that was faced with the Philistine army? King Saul, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, how are we going to beat this? Oh my gosh, are we going to win? We need somebody. And then all of a sudden, a little David comes by, and you're like, What? What? Do you know it had to be a certain stance that David had? I mean, he had to look pretty confident. He's like, listen, I'll do it. Sign me up. I'm in this battle. I'm gonna fight for you. And the king is looking like, are you kidding me? You're this big. How are you going to go against this giant? Here, at least put my armor on. Fight the way I trained. No, I got this because I'm going to fight the way God's trained me. I'm going to have faith in him. See, I think David was spending his time serving the Lord. I think David was spending his time with the Lord. See, David was confident in God and believed in his heart and knew that it wasn't his strength where he was able to defeat the lion and the bear. He knew it was God that delivered him. He was not spending time. He was investing time in God. Yeah. A lot of times we spend our time in worry instead of investing our time in the Lord. There's a difference between the two. So the question or the challenge is how are you spending your time? Or should I say, change it to be an investment of time? See, when you invest in the Lord, you can't lose. When you invest in the things of the world, you will lose. Matter of fact, I believe Scripture says you reap what you sow, right? God will not be mocked. Whatever you reap, you shall sow, right? If you sow to the flesh, Scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, your time to the world, you reap corruption. But if you sow into the Spirit, spend or invest time in God, you will reap everlasting life. It's beautiful. It's found in Galatians 6. Time is more valuable than money. Do you guys know that? Time is more valuable than money. So what are you spending your time on? Do you know you cannot get more time, but you can get more money? Where's my Netflixers at? Is that a word? I probably should raise my own hand. No rebuke, Stephanie. I preached this because I preached to myself also, right? What are you spending your time doing? Do you ever spend time in prayer? Or let me say, do you ever invest time in prayer? Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, or brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is bad. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you know when you're investing or spending your time in the negative or in the things of the world, that is now what's filling your treasure of your heart? And that's the stuff that'll start to come out of your mouth. But you see, God bless you that are here celebrating corporately Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, or those that are listening online and training yourself up to realize that there is value in what you speak. There's value also in what you do, and there's value also in what you spend or invest time doing as well. Some of the best training I've ever had has been from rebuke. Some of the best training I personally have ever had in my life has been from rebuke. Not the accolades, not the, oh, you're so awesome, good job. No, all that does is build my confidence in me. But the rebuke, that is where training has took place in my life. When somebody said, you know, what you're doing isn't good and you should change it. That is when I woke up and went, you're probably right. My wife's very good at rebuking me. And I thank you very much. She's made me a better man. And she did not pay me to say that. But listen, in my marriage of 27 years, if I hadn't listened to a lot of things that she said about, you know, we should probably go to church. You know, you probably shouldn't yell at your kids that way. You know, you probably should whatever fill in the blank. If I was too prideful to listen to such a thing, and at times I was, but there was to a point where I was just rebuked, which is a sharp comment to change me. Eventually it sunk in and I was like, you know, you're right. I probably should be better in that way. And you know what? let's go to church. And I ain't been the same since. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Weldon's good at rebuking me. He's done it on occasion. But if you've ever been rebuked by Pastor Weldon, he's pretty nice when he does it. Right? I got Chaplain Chuck and Jackie over there going, yep, yep. But that's not true, because I've heard the stories of how you walked out of his office with no butt left. Right? It's like, I don't know where it went, because it got chewed off. But with you guys and with me, why did he bring rebuke? Because he loves us, right? Why did my wife, why does she still bring rebuke? I don't know, but why did she bring rebuke? Because she loves me. Here's the thing. The only way we can grow in life and be trained in life and change in life is if we're open to the criticism that may come, the rebuke that may come. Rebuke is not bad, church, family. It's not bad. Look at it as a place of growth. Rosie rebuked me the other day. She said I was filled with pride, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. But, hey, it's leaving, right? Is my pride leaving? Okay. As long as you say it is. Proverbs 17. Well, let me go back. Too many people are looking back in anger and forward in fear. Let me say that again. Too many people are looking back in anger, can't believe what they did to me, and then forward in fear, I'm afraid of what's to come. Again, that's the spend or invest. What are you spending your time doing? How are you seeing your life? I can't miss. I win with God every time. The realization that we can alter our lives by altering our attitude is a very important discovery. Who's ever altered their attitude? Yeah? Who needs to alter their attitude? Yes! Yeah. Did you raise your hand? Did you? I was looking through my reader part of my glasses. I wasn't sure if I saw it. Did you raise your hand? No. God, will you lay hands on her and we'll get the pride out of her too, right? Okay. All right. She is perfect. I know. How much did you pay her? Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but depression drains one's strength. We're laughing. We're having a good time right now. Why? On purpose. On purpose. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? Where the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Right? And if God's Spirit has transformed and lives in us, then that fullness of joy is in us, right? But I'm here to tell you, you got to remind yourself of that. You have to remind yourself of that. How about invest some time in reminding yourself how awesome God is in your life instead of spending time talking about how messed up your life is, right? Right? I can't miss. That giant's so big, I'll get him easily. And God directs the arrows, right? Philippians 2, 1 through 5. It's Paul speaking. He says, so then as Christians, I'll say it to us, right? These are questions. So then as Christians, do you have any encouragement? Do you have any comfort from love? Do you have any spiritual relationships? Do you have any sympathy and compassion? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Verse 2, then fill me with joy by having the same attitude and the same love, living in harmony and keeping one purpose in mind. We just sang a song, we are one in the Spirit, singing that unity would come. See, Satan doesn't have to do anything when the church is divided, fighting itself. What are we investing in? What are we spending our time doing? Come on, guys, right? You're my brother, you're my sister. Let's do life together. Let's fight this fight together. The battle is God's. Amen? And goes on. Don't act out of selfish ambition or be conceited. Instead, humbly think of others as being better than yourselves. See, there's where the breaking of pride comes. Don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You see, he is the one that we should be looking to. His example, and I love the Old Testament, and the examples are there. We need to have the faith like David. We need to face the giants that are out there. We need to walk in the power and purpose of Jesus Christ. We need to know, just as Jesus is the Son of God, we are also the children of God. Amen? Confident in these things. Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as though you were working for your real master and not merely humans. Work as though you're working unto the Lord. And I leave today, and hopefully to go on through this week, closing in this. This is the epitome of the message. We have to look at things differently. We have to look with God goggles, if you will. How is God seeing things? You see, David, when he was going out in that battle, he wasn't looking the way the rest of the army was looking. The rest of the army was looking forward in fear, but he was already looking forward in victory. Amen? That's powerful. That's powerful. Think about things differently. We have to look at things differently, and we have to think about things differently. Mind of Christ, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. And we have to speak differently. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I am victorious. I am fighting from victory. I am an overcomer. The Lord God said he is the God I am. He put the Spirit of God in us that gives us the ability to say, I am. Amen? Amen? Speak the word. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Amen? Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are so very grateful for your word. Your word transforms us. Your word changes us. Your word brings us into remembrance of our rightful inheritance, Lord. And Father, with so many circumstances of this world that come against us, I thank you that we can boldly and be confident in who we are in you. Your word says that if you are for us, who can be against us? So Father, thank you that you are here in the midst of us, that you're here with those that are listening online. Father, I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters today, that you will keep them safe and free from all harm, Lord, and I pray that you will expand their territory in Jesus' name. And Father, if there be anyone who has never made you Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of their life, I pray that they would surrender their own will. And they would say, Jesus, come into my life. And they would speak from their heart. They would ask you, Lord, to come in, forgive them of their sin. You will fill them fresh and new with the power and presence of your Spirit. You will forgive them. And Father, I thank you that you will make them that new creation. Father, I pray that if anybody came in here today with a heavy heart, that Father, that today they are lifted and that they will leave joyful with your very presence. Father, I pray for the families here at Shield of Faith and those listening, that Father, that they will continue to be strengthened in who they are with you. Father, we love you and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.